Help all kids learn and grow with PBS Kids. Thank you for supporting your PBS station.
Butterfly in the sky. I can go twice as high. Take a look. It's in a book. A reading rainbow.
Any idea what this is? Is it a dizzy worm? Or an insane weather vane? You guessed it. This is a snail at home watching Reading Rainbow. Hi there. Are you a doodler? Well, I am. I'm always scribbling in the margins of my notebooks. An empty page makes my fingers itch to fill it up. Uh-oh. Oh, wait a minute. I bet you I can turn this splat into another doodle. See if you can guess what this one is. This is a Martian taking a meteor shower. How about that? You know, I get pretty attached to my doodles, so I save them. I mean, who knows? I might want to turn them all into a book one day. Well, these are some of the things you need to make a book. Some string, little glue, some ink, and especially some paper. But you know, an idea has to start here or here before a book can take on a life of its own. And sometimes ideas come through serendipity or happy accidents. You see something like, well, like this, and it just gets you going. And it gets different people going in different directions.
I'm drawing a dinosaur. He's got sharp teeth, very sharp teeth.
This is a banana. The porcupine's all the way down the side of him. We got little arms.
The two-headed monster
smells funky
and eats two-headed wolves.
I'm drawing a pizza packer. She goes around and she eats pizzas. She lives in Miami, Florida.
Yeah. It looks like a turtle.
I'm drawing a vibration eater. He eats vibrations, and he doesn't have any legs. No, he has springs.
They eat lizards.
Where do they live?
They live inside a big, gigantic flying saucer.
I'm gonna make a face, a little body. She has diseases on her face.
He's a big-eyed monster, and his name is Pterodactyl. And he's a silly monster.
That's marvelous.
When you start out with a doodle and an inspiration, there's no telling where you might end up. Well, this book, Simon's book, started out with a doodle just like this one. Then it took on a life of its own. Watch. See if you can spot it.
Thank you.
Henrik Drescher. Read by Ruby Dee. Late one evening, a young boy began to draw a story about Simon and the scary monster. He became drowsy, and instead of finishing the drawing, the boy headed for the comfort of his downy bed, leaving Simon stranded on the page with a big, furry beast. As soon as the boy was asleep, a curious sound came from the direction of the drawing table. First, it was a faint shuffle. Then a louder rustle. One by one, like caterpillars, the pens crept out of their jar onto the drawing pad. The bottle of ink followed. The pens introduced themselves.
Hello, Simon.
They promised to get Simon out of the monstrous predicament he had been drawn into so thoughtlessly. Simon shook their tails and introduced himself to the ink bottle with a very messy result. No sooner had Simon cleaned himself than the beast leapt at the foursome. The fastest pen drew a hole in the page. They thought it would be too small for the monster to follow through, but it wasn't. On the next page, the creature chased them up a rocky hill. Simon tumbled as the pen spun out of control. The ink bottle hit the ground with a great thud, spilling over one page and onto the next. Almost out of energy and ink, Simon and his friends watched as the beast crept toward them through the splatter. It perched silently above them, waiting for the right moment to leap. Suddenly, it jumped at Simon. But to his surprise, the beast gave him a big, sloppy kiss. The monster was friendly. The foursome collapsed on the beast's back and headed across the page, happy and relieved. When they arrived at the last page, the pens drew a soft, warm bed and cover using the last drop of ink. Soon after they had been tucked in, Simon and his newfound friend were asleep. Then the ink bottle jiggled off the page like a tired old hermit crab. The pens retired to the comfort of their spacious jar, yawned a sigh of relief, and dozed off. The boy awoke the next morning, fully rested. To his amazement and delight, there was a book on the table where he had left the drawing of Simon and the monster the night before. And that is the same book that you've just finished reading.
You know, sometimes I get a sneaky suspicion that Simon and his monster are busy running around in here, jumping through holes in the pages, swinging on pens, and munching on paper. Then they all jump back in their places when they hear me coming. You ever wonder how a book like this gets started? Well, let's go meet the man behind the monster in Simon's book. So, Henrik, this is the original doodle that started Simon's book, huh?
Yeah, that's it.
Do you remember where on the monster the doodle started?
I don't know, maybe around there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So after this doodle, what did you do next?
I made more doodles, more doodles, and then I made a story around the doodles. And after I finished all the doodles, I made a dummy book.
A dummy book?
A handmade book like this.
You mean you actually made this?
That's right. This is the final step before you paint the pictures. Every drawing in here corresponds to a drawing in the book.
Right.
Like the boar that's rolling down the hill with the pens, the monster's chasing him up.
Up the side of the mountain, right.
So you can see the mountain's green here, there's color on it, so it's different.
The colors are really beautiful.
But you make the dummy in black and white because it's only so that you can see how the story works.
I see, so right. The dummy is always in black and white.
Well, it doesn't have to be, but for me, it's easier.
Uh-huh.
Because I know how, in my mind how I want the color to be.
You already see the colors in your mind.
Yeah, you can imagine that.
Right.
There's, let's see, if you want to see another one here.
Sure, I'd love to. Oh, yeah, a picture of Simon there,
right.
Yeah.
Do you notice the difference?
Yeah, he's a lot older here than he is there.
We changed the story. Uh-huh. We decided that it was better to have a young boy than an older boy.
I see.
And he's on a different table.
Yeah,
it's more like a living room.
Right. You know? Yeah, this is more like an artist's table, huh?
Right. So things change while you're making a book.
Right. Now, you have all kinds of doodles and stuff in your margins here. Is that normal for artists?
I don't know. For me, it's normal.
Mm-hmm.
This is the way that when you're painting a picture, you test the brush, you test the color outside the picture.
Right.
You don't want to make a big mistake with the wrong color.
Uh-huh.
And that's what all this is.
Now, this looks like a whole paper full of doodles and splotches. Huh?
Yeah, I decided it looked real nice. I like the way it looks, so I decided to make my splotches. Instead of doing it out here,
right.
I started to do it in the middle of a piece of paper.
Well, it is beautiful.
And this is what you call end paper.
End paper.
Right. This is used on the first page of every book that you buy.
Uh-huh.
Has a piece of end paper. Sometimes it's just a piece of paper without design, but this has a design.
I see, right.
It's only the center that's used in it.
Right. But it's the same. It's the
exactly
same picture.
The same thing, right.
So Simon's book actually started as a doodle and then kind of evolved into a whole book.
Right.
It's
based on a doodle.
So what else are you working on?
Well, let's see. This is a new book. This is sort of an experimental book.
It's an experimental book, huh?
It's different from Simon's book.
Uh-huh.
Simon's book, it's a traditional book. It folds like this.
Right.
Well, this is a different one. It folds four ways.
Four ways.
Oh, let me show you.
Uh-huh.
What do you see there?
That's a worm.
Right. Now watch what happens to the worm.
Okay. Ah, he's getting bigger, huh?
Yeah, bigger and hungrier.
Ooh, he's got a head there.
He's changing.
Right. Yeah.
What is he doing?
Oh, he's biting his tail.
Yeah,
oh, he's got the whole thing in his mouth there, and he's got teeth here.
Oh, that must hurt.
And his head, it's getting bigger. He's getting much bigger.
Whoa.
And it's turning into something. A monster, huh?
It looks a lot like that, doesn't
it? The one in Simon's book, right.
There you go.
A burping beast. Well, you never know. Maybe someday you'll walk into a library and see something like this looking at you. This is the stuff books are made of. But paper doesn't look like much till artists and writers fill it with words and pictures. But then, how does it get to you? Well, the printers here at Ray Lithography turn blank sheets of paper like this into books like this. And the more copies there are, the better the chance you'll end up with one. There are many people hidden between the lines of a book, the people who help print it. Let's go see how they do it. Wow, this is really neat. Printing a book is a complicated process with a lot of steps. This may look like magic, but it takes a combination of scientific know-how and creative talent. Believe it or not, all the colors you see on the cover of any book are printed with only the four basic colors: red, yellow, blue, and black. When those four colors are printed on the same piece of paper, they can create all the colors of the rainbow. Al is testing each color, making sure it's exactly right. So all the colors will fit back together and add up to a picture, like this. That was really incredible. So what happens next, Al?
Now that we know that the color's okay, the job's now ready to go into the plate room.
Okay. Here we are in the plate room where they make the actual plates for the printing press. They make one plate for each of the four colors. And as you can see, there are several pages on each plate. Well, what happens next, Bill?
Well, you lay the film down on the plate, and then you close the glass and expose it to light.
Sort of like having my own film at home developed.
Right.
Once the aluminum plate is exposed, it goes through the developer. Then it's ready to go on the printing press. So the first thing we gotta do, Mike, is load the paper in the machine, right?
That's right. First, we have to find center.
Uh-huh.
Fold the sheet in half.
Right. So about how many pieces of paper are on this skid, do you know?
About 8,000 sheets.
You know how much it weighs?
About 1,200 pounds.
About as much as a baby elephant.
Yeah, you might say that.
All right, so now that the paper's loaded, I'd love to see how the machine works.
Okay, this way. Right up here. Actually, LeVar, there's four presses combined in one.
Ah.
There's a black, blue, red, yellow.
One for each color.
Yes. The paper comes down here.
Uh-huh.
It goes between the black unit.
Mm-hmm.
It goes between the blue.
Uh-huh.
It goes between the red.
Uh-huh.
And it goes between the yellow.
Yeah, but how do you put the ink in?
I'll show you how.
Okie doke. So what is this, Mike? What do you call
this? This is the ink fountain.
Uh-huh.
That's where the ink goes in.
Uh-huh.
And this is the agitator.
What, this thing rolling down
this
here?
Right here.
Right.
And it keeps moving the ink back and forth so it won't dry.
Right. If it hardens up, then what happens?
Then we got trouble.
We got trouble,
then we got trouble.
So can we put some ink in the fountain?
Sure, I'll let you do it.
Okay.
A little bit of yellow.
Uh-huh. I love these colors. They're so rich.
Rich,
right? So what, I just scoop some in?
Huh?
Yeah. Ooh, it's so sticky. It's like peanut butter. It's really not like ink at all. And
okay, a little bit.
On the roller here?
Yeah.
Right on there.
Fine.
Just like that.
Good.
All right.
Very good. This is the same plate that we made in the other room,
mm-hmm.
the plate department, and it's bent around the drum. So when the paper runs through, it prints from the plate to the blanket, and then it's done.
On the paper.
That's right.
Mike, now that we've seen how the machine works, can we go turn it on?
Sure, this way.
All right.
All we have to do is push one button to start the press up.
Which one?
Right there.
May I?
Sure.
All right. This is already dry. How did that happen?
We have special heat lamps that dry the sheet as the sheets come through the press.
Just that fast?
Yes.
Huh? Hey, you know what? This is the terrible thing that happened at our house. That's a Reading Rainbow book. Now, these big sheets have to be turned by hand so they can go back through the press to be printed on the other side. You know, I always wondered how the print got on both sides of the page. Now I know. Once the second side is printed, then these sheets go to the bindery where all of this paper finally starts to look like a real book.
Copy for me, so I took my book, printed all the pages, and now they're going to the bindery. Come along and see. At the bindery, the pages are stacked and trimmed to just the perfect size. Every measurement must be exact to make lots of books. Books are done, and each one will have a life of its own. I wrote a book, but I only had a copy for me, so I took my book. I made a copy for everybody.
The presses. And after all that hard work, all I have to do is read it. You know, people have always wanted to reach across time and space to tickle your funny bone, tell a tall tale, or even teach you a thing or two. But they couldn't always print their ideas and feelings on paper the way we've seen today. Ever wonder how they did it? Once a book is printed and bound, it gets shipped to libraries and bookstores. Then it's up to you to pick it off the shelf and bring it to life by reading it. But of course, the reader decides which book to pick. Well, if you like Simon's book, then here... I said if you like Simon's book, then here are some others that you might... If you like Simon's book, then here are some other books you might enjoy, but you don't have to take my word for it. Or theirs.
Hi, my name is David Nieves. Have you ever gotten scared when you thought something was under your bed? Well, I have, and this is a book that makes everything you thought was under your bed funny. It's called What's Under My Bed by James Stevenson. It's about two kids, Marianne and Louie. They got really scared one night because their grandfather told them a story about when he was a little boy. He had a mustache and everything. The grandfather had some crazy monsters in his story, like leeches and witches and dragons and goblins and little monsters on stilts, shaky like jelly things. Gookie, yeah! I think you should read this book because they're great pictures and they're crazy monsters, but of course you know there aren't such things as monsters. So this is a great book to read just before you go to bed. It gets a lot of laughs out of you.
Hi, everybody. My name is Charlene Anderson. I just read a very funny book called Me and Niecy by Eloise Greenfield. This book was about a girl named Janelle who makes up an imaginary friend called Niecy. Niecy's always getting Janelle in trouble. When Mama's braiding Janelle's hair, Niecy jumps up and down and makes noises so Janelle looks away. So Mama has to yank her head around. And when Aunt Bee comes to visit, Niecy sits on the couch right under her. As soon as Janelle starts to school, Niecy leaves. Janelle is a little bit sad because she's losing her imaginary friend. I like this book because it showed me it's okay to have imaginary friends and it's great to have real ones too.
Hi, my name is Jose Garassi. I just read a book that you should really read. It's called Begin at the Beginning by Amy Schwartz. It's about this little girl named Sarah, and she has a very big problem and she doesn't know where to begin. Sarah comes home from school one day, and her mother was in the kitchen baking cookies. Her mother asked her, "How was school today, dear?" And Sarah said, "Oh, it was horrible. My first clay pot fell right apart, and then my toothpick tree collapsed. Then the worst part is, Miss Weinstein picked me to do the painting for the art show tomorrow, and I don't have one idea." Sarah was going to paint the whole universe, but she didn't know where to begin. Sarah solves the problem, but if you want to know how, take out your library card and ask for Begin at the Beginning by Amy Swartz. It's a wonderful book.
Soon these books will be on the road and headed in your direction. But you don't have to make 12,000 copies of a book before it has a life of its own. Your individual, handmade, one-of-a-kind book can be just as real. All of these books started out as an idea or a feeling. And look where they ended up. Stacked on skids, ready to be shipped all over the country. Who knows? One of these books might have your name on it. Simon's book started out as a doodle. Maybe there's an idea or a doodle you can't let go of, or that won't let go of you. So hang on to it. Even the littlest idea can end up as something big.
Okay, LeVar, take it away.
Thanks, Bill. We'll see you next time. Today's Reading Rainbow books are Simon's Book by Henrik Drescher, published by Lothrop, Lee, and Shepherd. What's Under My Bed by James Stevenson, published by Green Willow Books. Me and Nisi by Eloise Greenfield, illustrated by Monetta Barnett, published by T.Y. Kroll. Begin at the Beginning by Amy Schwartz, published by Harper & Row.